وعليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته حضرت مفتی آپو صاحب. On this beautiful Wednesday morning, may Allah Ta'ala bless you and the family with afiyat and good health. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, the platform is yours.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. Ameen. Jazakum Allah khair. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. One and all. Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us for his deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to value every day he gives us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to make a difference, to make a change, to leave a legacy. May Allah guide us every step of the way. We're discussing for a little while the lives of the best of people, but specifically those who were connected somehow to Sham and Palestine and Aqsa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the Ummah who are suffering throughout the world, especially in that part of the world. So one of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, who we discussed today, actually, they were brothers, two of them. One was Aban, and the other was Khalid. So Khalid and Aban, radiallahu anhum, the sons of Sa'id bin As bin Umayyah bin Abd Shams. So their father was Sa'id bin As, and the one son was Khalid. Both these Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Allah was strove for Allah. But Khalid embraced Islam in the early stages. His brother Aban radiallahu anhu became Muslim after the occasion of Hudaybiyah, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the pact and the truce of Hudaybiyah, the peace treaty, where there was ceasefire for 10 years and Muslims were to return to Medina Munawwara. Aban was inspired by the Muslims and the residents of the Muslims outside Makkah Mukarramah. This had an impact on him. And alhamdulillah, he migrated to Medina Munawwara and he met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and changed his life. But the brother Khalid, subhanAllah, Khalid bin Sa'id bin As bin Umayyah bin Abd Shams bin Abd Manaf, that means he's a relative of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's from the Quraysh. He's from the Banu Umayyah. That means Hazrat Uthman's family, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhum's family. Alhamdulillah. So Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Interestingly, he embraced Islam in such an early time in the Meccan stage already. His daughter, radiallahu anha, subhanAllah, actually, Damra said, Khalid bin Sa'id was one of the earliest Muslims, the fifth person to embrace Islam, not long after the Islam of Hazrat Abu Bakr, that Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id embraced Islam. And subhanAllah, Allah showed him a very interesting dream. What had happened was, his father one day barges into the parliament of Makkah called Darun Nadwa. And his father was very upset. Why was he upset? What is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing? Why is he just doing what he wants in Makkah, calling people to another creed, calling people to another faith? Who gives him the right to do this? And Sa'id bin As, meaning the father of Khalid and Aban, their father was reprimanding Quraysh for not stopping Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was in the early stages. And in that, Khalid bin Sa'id was intrigued by his father's complaints against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these complaints were irrelevant. His father was one of the tights of Makkah. When he donned a certain turban, no one had the right to dress in the same color. They had to remove it immediately. He was titled Abu Uhayha, meaning Sa'id bin As. Hazrat Khalid's father, his title was Abu Uhayha. And on that occasion, he was so upset. Anyway, he barged into the parliament, Darun Nadwa, and then he rushed out. And he says, if this is going to happen again, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his way is implemented here, I will take you all to task. And he ranted and raved. But that urged Hazrat Khalid to find out more. So he then went to find out more. Anyway, he had this worry, this concern, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows him an interesting dream. He sees that he is in the edge, standing on the edge of the pit of hell. He describes this fire to be vast. And as he was trying to get safe from that fire, his father was coming there, pushing him into the fire. And he then is about to fall into the fire. And as he's about to fall in, he's just gripping on for his life. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes and grabs him by the waist and saves him from falling into the fire and saves him from his own father. When he sees this vision, this dream, he says, by Allah, this has to be a true dream. He went straight to Hazrat Abu Bakr. Now, subhanAllah, everyone trusted Hazrat Abu Bakr. Anyone needed to make mashura, consult, speak to someone, ask advice from someone, they would go to Abu Bakr. He mentioned this dream to Hazrat Abu Bakr. Yeah, I would mention to you, respected Ummati of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, be approachable to people. If people need to talk to you about something, be approachable. Sometimes people need someone to listen, hear them out, help them wherever we can, give them courage, motivate them. And do not hear the incidents of people and then talk to others about it. If someone comes to speak to you in confidence, we have no right to speak to others about what that person spoke to us about. He was speaking to us in confidence. He wanted guidance in a certain situation. Remember, that is in confidence. That's why the hadith says, Al-Majalisu bil-amana. A person sits with you to consult regarding something. That is amana. Anyway, Hazrat Abu Bakr says to Hazrat Khalid, Urida bika khayrun. Goodness is wanted for you. You are receiving an opportunity of khayr. Yeah, the dream is clear. This refers to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Emulate him, follow him, and when you follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and embrace Islam, your father will stop you, but Allah will save you, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's teachings and guidance will save you. Anyway, he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was situated at the time in a place called Ajyad. Said of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is your invitation? Ila man tad'u? Who do you call to? Who do you advocate to? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him the da'wah that I call to Allah alone. Allah who has no partner whatsoever. And I call one and all to believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as Allah's servant and his messenger. And I advocate to you that you leave and denounce wa takhla'u ma anta alayh, what you were upon, from idolatry, idols and images that cannot hear, nor can it see, nor can they harm you, nor can they benefit you. وَلَا يَدْرِي مَنْ عَبَدَهُ مِمَّنْ لَمْ يَعْبُدْهُ. And idolatry, idols that don't even recognize or know who worships them from those who don't. Anyway, Abu Khalid bin Sa'id was so inspired. There and then, he embraced Islam. Allahu Akbar. And when he embraced Islam, subhanAllah, he changed his life and he started practicing. But this was the early stage. So Islam was still being taught in Darul Nadwa, the center of Islam, the first center of Islam, first markaz, madrasa, first center of Islam, Darul Arqam, radiallahu anhu. Anyway, his father found it strange that Khalid was not so much in the house. His father lived in a palace. And then when outskirts region of Makkah Mukarramah. So his father sent the other brothers to find Khalid. Anyway, they found him. He was in Salah. And his father got so upset. And he sent his brothers to call him. And when he was brought to his father sabbahu wa baktatahu, reprimanded him, swore him, degraded him, disgraced him. Then his father struck him. This report says with a stick, and the stick broke. There's another report when his father took a metal rod and struck him so badly, and it had a great impact on his body. Anyway, he was severe, severely injured. And then his father said, you follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you see how he has opposed his people, and you denounce idolatry, which is the creed of our forefathers. Allahu Akbar. And then Khalid was firm. He says, yes, I have followed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I accept Islam as the truth. His father got more enraged and reprimanded him even further, hit him again, despite what he already did. And then he said, get out of here, oh you fool, yeah, look out, go where you want. Anyway, there's a report that his father locked him up in the dungeon and came to him and said, now you'll get no food also. And then his father also threatened him, you'll get nothing after me also. You'll be deprived of your inheritance. There's an amazing incident of an American truck driver who, as a child, his parents separated. And subhanAllah, he was with his mother. And then when he would live by his father would take him to church. But it confused him a lot. You know, seeing how they do things in the church, asking of the Holy Ghost. And it worried him. And then he ended up in prison some years later. And he found something strange. Anyway, one day he sees a very big-built American guy approach him. And he was worried. He was thinking in his mind that this man is going to fist me. This is in prison. There's a lot of gangsters in there. And the guy approaches him and greets him. How are you, brother? Assalamu alaikum. Hope you're well. Your new year. Don't worry. We'll take care of you. And if you want, we're making Jumu'ah. Why don't you join us? He said, I was amazed. I saw such a big built guy approach me. No one could mess with that guy. But the way he spoke to me so nicely. And I was going to go for Jumu'ah. But then I had to seek permission. Because to go to church in the prison was very easy. But to go to the Jumu'ah, where they perform Jumu'ah, that was very difficult. You needed permission. You needed a reason. They always would make it hard. Anyway, I went to ask the superintendent permission. And he said, don't go there. So I said, but why? You know, it's free to choose the way you want to worship the Almighty. And it's a free country. So that man put fear into me. He said, if they murder you there, don't call me for help. See how shaitan works. When you want the truth, it'll bring about people to put fear in your heart and your mind to hinder one from taking the step. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us. He said, shaitan will stop a person every step of the way from accepting the truth. Every step of the way. Any good you want to do, shaitan will stop you. Especially the path of Islam. I know a man who studied in Darul Uloom and completed it. Wonderful person. Alhamdulillah. He was telling us he was very strict on Christianity. And when he embraced Islam, he remembers that night, he sees his priest in a dream. Shaitan came in the form of his priest. You know? And this is how shaitan doesn't want us to change. That's why, even for the non-Muslims, it's very difficult for them to find, especially before, if they wanted a copy of the Quran translation, they don't know which bookshop to go to. Because most bookshops, unless owned by a Muslim, will never keep, even if it's a bookshop on any study, they'll have everything there, from atheism to agnosticism to all sorts of novels to actually nudity to all sorts of things. But and the Bible, you'll find shelves of different versions of the Bible. You'll even find the Bhagavad Gita, a couple of shelves of the Bhagavad Gita. You will not find the translation of the Quran in a bookshop. The only book you might find on Islam is a book written by someone who is gay or someone who is actually speaking against Islam, a non-Muslim speaking against Islam. You won't find any true information by any reputable source in the bookshops available to the non-Muslims and the Western world or to the non-Muslims. That's why as Muslims, we have to be very accommodating and we have to make the deen available to them. Just recently, I heard one man wanted to be Muslim. And he came into the masjid. So the person there says to him, why do you want to be Muslim? He says, you know, he gives his reasons. He says, okay, you have to change your name. He says, no, I don't want to change my name. I'll do that in time. But he said, a man actually came for Jumu'ah to embrace Islam. Then he says, but what motivates you? He says, you know, where I work, my people are very good. And I love, the owner of the company, the boss. He's a Muslim. He's, you know, has been inspired by that. And I want to embrace Islam. That man says, no, you shouldn't embrace Islam. You must think about it and come back the next week. Actually, that was a very foolish thing to do. Don't delay when a person wants to be Muslim. Already, he's been through so much to come. He sacrificed so much to be there. How many barriers of the devil did he already go through? Now he becomes Muslim. Now you're forcing him to change his name. Now you're sending him to go back after he went through so much already by coming. Now you want him to think again. That wouldn't be the best way. Because who gives you or him guarantee that we would be living the next week? To such an extent that even a person's bath before embracing Islam is a mustahab act, encouraged and exhorted, not compulsory. That a person came, he wants to embrace Islam, and you tell him, no, you must come back in the next few days because you have to bath first. No, there's no condition like that. It's just exhorted, one's encouraged to bath before embracing Islam. It's mustahab. Now a person came all the way, you're going to tell him, no, now you must bath and come back after the next week or the next prayer. What's the guarantee that he'll come? Now he'll go back. Shaitan will work harder on him. Don't go there. Shaitan doesn't want him to embrace Islam. Allah give us all tawfiq. This brother says, they put so much of fear for me in my heart when I was going for the Jumu'ah. But I said, no, I'll go. Anyway, he couldn't stop me more. I attended the prayer. And when I saw them, this big black guy in American prison, and they went into sajda, Allahu Akbar, that was it for me. Oh, just too clear. Anyway, he started. You know, and then the one guy came to him and gave me a gift of the translation of the Quran. Respected Ummah, share the message of the Quran. Give the translation of the Quran to people, your close relatives. They can't buy it. It's not available to them. Your close relatives, your colleagues, your friends. Invite them to Islam. Show them the beauty of Islam and let them read the translation of the Quran. Anyway, he says, I was ready. I phoned my father. Oh, he was so upset. He told me, you know, I'm going to speak to my lawyer right now and my bookkeeper. You're going to be deprived of the entire inheritance that I already, you know, wrote down for you. He says, Allah, but I told my father, you see, father, I respect you, but don't force me to leave the truth that I found. He says, no, that's it. I'm telling you, I won't have a son anymore. So I'm giving you the last chance before you dead in my books. So imagine Allah blessed him, and there's good people out there in the world. He says, no, your money won't make me happy forever. I will remain a Muslim. And his father did just that. He deprived him of $600,000. And that was in the early 1990s. And after today, alhamdulillah, he's inviting to Allah. Being a truck driver, he earns his halal and he spreads Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. So it's ajeeb how Allah gives people hidayah. This great sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his father told him, لَأَمْلَعَنَّكَ الْقُوتِ You'll get nothing from me. You won't even get food, you'll suffer. And you'll die out of hunger and you won't even inherit from me. So the Sahabi, Hazrat Khalid, says to his father, you see, father, the same Allah who provides for you is the same Allah who will provide for me. Okay? And Allah Akbar, he suffered for a little while in the dungeon of his father. Alhamdulillah, he escaped. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him to Abyssinia where he practiced Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. This report says that he went to Makkah first. He hid there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cared for him. And then when Muslims were migrating the second hijrah to Abyssinia, alhamdulillah, he went with them. His father was so severe and harsh against the Muslims. And then his father got very sick. And his dua is quite... what his father said was ajeeb. His father said, if I get cured from the sickness of mine. I'll make sure that the God of Muhammad is never worshipped anywhere in Makkah. But the word he used about Nabi is very derogatory. He tried to belittle Nabi. He didn't say the God of Muhammad. He said the deity of the son of Abu Kabsha. Abu Kabsha was the husband of Hazrat Halima Sa'diya when Nabi grew up. Nabi is Abdullah's son, who's Abdul Muttalib's son. But Abu Uhayha, Sa'id bin As, wants to belittle Nabi. So he says this is the shepherd Abu Kabsha's son. Anyway, Hazrat Khalid heard that his father was ill. Look at what he says. He says, Ya Allah, if he's going to get cured and he's going to harm my Muslim brothers, don't remove that sickness from him. And then he passed away in that. And Hazrat Khalid and Sa'id strove all his life. But the point here I wanted to bring was, right till the end, he was the first Sahabi to actually enter Sham with Islam. So in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, he was already in Sham, Khalid bin Sa'id. So he was one of the earliest Muslims, alhamdulillah. And sadly, very few know this great Sahabi, radiallahu anhu. And he took Islam into Sham. And he strove there for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, alhamdulillah. He made great sacrifices in spreading Islam to Sham. Then Hazrat Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, sent other Sahaba to that region. And then Sahaba went in the next expeditions after Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id was already making an effort there. Alhamdulillah, Allah accept the efforts, subhanAllah. Allah has accepted the efforts of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum. And he strove in Allah's way in that region. And while he was there, subhanAllah, that was where he became shaheed in one of the expeditions in Sham. Alhamdulillah. Hazrat Abu Bakr kept him there, and then in a battle called Marjus Suffar during Hazrat Abu Bakr's Khilafah, he passed on. Alhamdulillah. Some say Marjus Suffar took place in Hazrat Umar's time. So they say that he passed away in Ajnadin. But both of this, Marjus Suffar and Ajnadin, are in the lands of Sham. There's an interesting report that he got married to, because who also passed away at a similar time, or just before him, was Hazrat Ikrimah, subhanAllah. Hazrat Ikrimah, out in Allah Ta'ala's way there. But imagine, look how Allah gives hidayah. Abu Jahl had such hatred for Islam, but Allah gives his brothers hidayah, Allah gives his son hidayah. Look at the effort of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He didn't say to them, no, your father did so much against Allah's deen, you all will not be accepted. Your brother did such and such against Allah's deen, you all cannot come here. No. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not hinder anyone. Irrespective of what their closest relatives, including them, did, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam accepted everyone. SubhanAllah. The Sahabi, and Hazrat Ikrimah passed on. His wife was widowed, Ummu Hakim radiallahu anha. So Hazrat Khalid proposed for her and wedded her, subhanAllah. And actually, that night before the next day, which was the expedition, he wanted to be in seclusion with her. She said, let's finish off all of this. And then, so he said, what if we're not around? And alhamdulillah, they consummated their marriage. And the next day, it was before the expedition, there was a duel. And he was challenged and he went forth. And during the duel, Allahu Akbar, he strove for Allah, he fought for Allah, and he was killed. The man who killed him in the duel, who won in the duel, came to the Muslims to embrace Islam. They said, how? What prompts you? He said, when I killed this man, I saw nur in his body. And that nur, his ruh come out. He could see the nur. And due to that, this is clear to be the truth. And that man embraced Islam. So the man who killed Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id was inspired to be a Muslim, subhanAllah. So let's finish at that, but let's finish with this point here. That this Sahabi, Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id, and his brother, Aban bin Sa'id, who also passed away at a very similar time, right? In Sham, are both buried in that region of Sham there, not far from Masjid Aqsa, alhamdulillah. His brother, Hazrat Aban bin Sa'id, also passed away in Ajnadin and Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id passed away in Ajnabi. One more Sahabi that I'll mention to you tomorrow, inshallah, will be on the road also, but Allah give us tawfiq to share it with you. Remember his name at least, Al-Aqra' ibn Shufay Al-Akki, radiallahu anhu. He's also buried right there in the western side, in Ramallah, in the west of Al-Quds, alhamdulillah. He passed away in the time of Hazrat Umar, radiallahu anhu. Al-Aqra' ibn Shufay Al-Akki, radiallahu anhu. He was ill, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited him. He said, "Oh Allah's Nabi, this is my last few minutes or days in this world." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Aqra, never. You will remain for quite long, and you will one day migrate to Sham, and you'll pass away there, and you'll be buried in this area of Palestine, of Rabwa in Palestine." Exactly what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said and prophesied, that's exactly what Hazrat Aqra did. He went there to Palestine. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he passed on later on in his life, exactly there he did pass on, Al-Aqra ibn Shufay Al-Akki. Allah give us tawfiq to serve his deen. Allah give us tawfiq to value the Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum, because lawla humu ma kana fil ardi muslimu. If it wasn't for them, they wouldn't be a Muslim on the face of the earth. And may Allah give us all tawfiq to make a difference by us changing our lives, becoming better people, improving our deen, our iman, our amal, improving our akhlaq. And Allah save us from bringing people down. Let's pay people on time. Let's not harm people. Let's not trick people and think we're going to get away with it. Allah is watching us. Even the person we oppress could be a non-Muslim. His baddua will be accepted, you know, against us. Allah save us. So yes, we are traveling. It doesn't mean we have the right to oppress people, usurp the rights of people. No. Even when we stop for salah, don't mess people's place. If we mistakenly messed, clean it up, alhamdulillah. And don't not stop for salah. We have to fulfill the huquq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the huquq of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, when people don't know the truth, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, when they stopped for salah, there was young men, youth, children, youngsters, they were mocking the adhan. What was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's reaction? Study that hadith, Aws Abu Mahdura's hadith. He didn't reprimand them and shout them and scream at them. Like you and I want to react when people want to. Do we ask ourselves, did we explain the truth to them? Then they could react in a better manner. When they mock the adhan, sometimes we, in South Africa, we're here for 350 years. Most people don't even know the meaning of the adhan, the non-Muslims. Who was supposed to tell them? Allah give us tawfiq. To take our time to inspire and guide one person. Each one should aspire to inspire. Each one can teach one. Allah give us tawfiq. صلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.